as a young person. I'd played in the Cedar Rapids Symphony Orchestra and the Cedar Rapids Municipal Band. And before going to the University of Iowa, received the first major Alanders Award, which is an award that is given every year by the Iowa Bandmasters Association. And I think they're still giving it. You know, they pick one graduating high school student in the state and give them some help moving on ahead in their studies in music.
Well, apparently you won a contest by playing the prune song. So tell us how you got into music and how you got started.
Well, my parents liked music, and they thought I should play the accordion. So at the age of 4, I started taking accordion lessons in Cedar Rapids from a band leader named Elmer Young. And in the process, I learned the prune song, which is a Czech tune. And you know, Cedar Rapids has a real Czech community. So I think when I was 5, I won a preliminary round of what they called the REF Talent Review, which was broadcast on station WMT and sponsored by the REF Packing Company, which was based, I think, in Waterloo at that time. So I don't think I won in the finals. And I think probably I won because people thought I was cute with my accordion at the age of 5, which I may have been. But I've stopped being cute since then anyway.
And you still play the accordion.
Well, you know, I set it aside for over 50 years. When I got flute fever, I really rejected the accordion very strongly. And I suppose that was my form of adolescent rebellion, rejecting certain values of my parents. And I was going to be a flutist and I was going to go out and conquer the world. So the accordion had to fall by the wayside. So lo and behold, 50 years later, I returned to Iowa, and there in a closet at my parents' is my old accordion, and by golly, I like it. So I'm still playing the accordion that they bought for me in 1950 when I was 12. It has never been repaired. It's an Italian accordion. It's now, 65 years old, and it's going strong. It's a little out of tune, but that's part of the charm. So I'm having a great time relearning the accordion.
Well, tell us about when you got flute fever and how that all happened.
Yeah, you know, I was studying in Marion, Iowa, and we had a really wonderful band director named Paul W. Wright, and he got me started on the flute, and I was kind of lackadaisical until one day when I was 15, something happened, and I still don't understand it, but that day I picked up the flute and I practiced for a couple of hours until my lips gave out, really. And after that, I had, you know, what you could call flute fever. It was just like a switch went on in my brain at that point. And I think that sometimes happens to young people in, you know, earlier middle adolescence. They suddenly find something that, in my case, the flute and music, you know, became a lifelong focus, something that engages me right up to today.
And then you ended up going to the University of Iowa?
Well, actually, I had a wonderful flute teacher when Paul Wright felt he couldn't teach me anymore. He sent me to a woman named Julia Denneke in Cedar Rapids, and she was the wife of the conductor of the Cedar Rapids Symphony. She had studied at the Juilliard School in New York and had been one of the first female members of an American professional symphony orchestra. She played in the Minneapolis Symphony under Dimitri Mitropoulos. And in those days, women in professional orchestra wind sections were extremely few and far between. So she was kind of a pioneer in her own right. And she kept me moving in the right direction. And then I became a student of Betty Mather at the University of Iowa and worked with her.
And then how did you end up in New York?
Kind of a roundabout way. I received a Woodrow Wilson Fellowship, which underwrote the first year of my graduate studies. And so I applied to the university that I wanted to go to that will remain nameless, and they rejected me. No, actually, it was Princeton University. And I was quite astounded because I had been a good student, and I thought, you know, well, I'll be a shoo-in to Princeton. Well, I wasn't. So the next thing I did was apply to Columbia University in New York City and was admitted there. And, you know, that made a big difference in my life. My gosh, if I had gone to Princeton, I'd probably be a very different person, maybe even a very different musician than I am today. Going to Columbia opened me to a whole range of influences and opportunities. So it's one of those things where when the unexpected happens, you know, you don't get the prize that you think you're going to get. Why? Sometimes it's all for the best. As I say, going to New York City was really a terrific experience, not just Columbia, but the city itself and its musical life.
Well, tell us about some of those experiences that you had and some of the people you rubbed shoulders with.
Yeah, well, I rubbed shoulders with some wonderful teachers there with whom I studied composition. Jack Beeson, a wonderful opera composer and excellent teacher of composition. And he kind of opened my eyes because during the first year of my graduate studies, I was in his seminar and at one point played part of a piece for flute that I was writing. And Jack kind of muttered, "Oh, you're a professional." And I had never thought of myself as a professional musician, but I have to say, you know, that the training that I received here in Iowa, right from the high school level through Mrs. Denneke and then at the University of Iowa with Betty Bang Mather, you know, I could go to New York at the age of 22 and have a seasoned pro like Jack say, "Oh, you're a professional." And indeed, I began working as a professional on the side, you know, playing various jobs. I joined the Musicians Union, and I was very interested in playing contemporary music and playing new music being written by composers today, because in a certain sense, I felt old music is being played by so many people, and I don't have that much to add to, you know, the great things they are doing. But there are not that many people playing some of the really important new pieces being written that touched me very deeply and that I felt needed to be played more widely. So I got very involved in putting on concerts of contemporary music, premiering a lot of new pieces, recording them, touring with them, things of that sort. And I have to say that New York was then unique in that for a young musician wanting to establish himself and develop a reputation, it had an impact that no other American city has, just in terms of reviews, the New York Times, the other New York papers, the New Yorker. And I think that's still the case. I didn't go to New York full of ambition, but I found suddenly, wow, I have a career, you know, just after being there a couple of years.